good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to Interop Radio's Hot Stage Diaries, page 3. Now, we've got a great show today, and one that I'm pretty sure is going to go a bit more smoothly than yesterday's show did. If you were here for yesterday's show, you know that we had just a couple of little technical problems. That's the kind of thing that happens when you're doing lots of testing, lots of trial configurations, lots of setup in a dynamic environment, just like we are here at Hot Stage. Well, why do we do that? We do that so that we can work out all the bugs and kinks and strange bits of behavior before we ever get to Interop Las Vegas. Speaking of Interop Las Vegas, this episode is brought to you by Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community. Interop Las Vegas will be coming your way April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information or to register, please go to www.interop.com and be sure to type the word radio into the promo code field, because that will give you a very substantial discount on your total conference package. Well, I know that you're curious about what was going on yesterday, and since here at Interop we're all about education, I spoke with Heather Williams about what had happened. Now, Heather is the engineer on site from Ruckus. They are the partner that's providing the wireless access points for InteropNet 2015. You'll remember yesterday she talked a bit about what she does. Well, I spoke with her about what had happened with our wireless configuration to cause the little hiccups that we had. Here's the conversation that I had with her a bit earlier today. So yesterday, during the Hot Stage Diaries, we had some bobbles on the wireless network. And we're here talking with our wireless network expert about some of what went on and why it's important and why what went on yesterday means that the same thing can't happen when we get to Interop. So, first of all, can you just set the stage? What was going on with the network, the wireless network, that required a change?
So the problem that had been occurring all day was with the existing network, the existing access point that was there, and a decision was made sometime yesterday afternoon that we just needed to. They were looking to change it out. They didn't have a replacement access point on hand. I happened to have 70 of them sitting next to me, so. Quickly, I threw some new code on there. I got the parameters that was running on the existing access point, and I made those config changes just on the fly. Classically, what we one of the things that happened is that we made the decision to make a change in the network without actually polling the users and finding what the use case was. The problem that you experienced only by you, because everybody else was a data user and it was seamless to them. The one person we should have talked to about, hey, are you using the network and in what manner are you using the network? So the lesson on this one first is know what the network is supposed to be doing for you and when it's supposed to be doing it before you actually implement those changes. So what was happening just 43 seconds before you went live is my very own opening sequence to broadcast news. And despite the accent, I am not actually Holly Hunter, and We pulled off part of it, and at the last minute, I let the ball slip through my fingers.
Well, I'm not sure that it slipped. As you said, for the majority of people sitting here at Hot Stage, there was no noticeable impact whatsoever, except that their wireless connections became more reliable and faster. So can you tell us a little bit, first of all, about what was going on that made the streaming audio? I was, of course, trying to get into the radio console through Skype. What was going on that caused a problem with that particular application?
Right. And what happened was the access point, I had left it in, we'll call it learning mode. So the access point was actually using the channel that it was on and seeing what the throughput was. In that mode, the access point would change channels periodically, which had zero impact to anybody. In fact, I wouldn't have even known that there was a problem except for I was in earshot and I heard you make the side comment. And as soon as you said it, I knew exactly what had happened and how to rectify it. The why it's not going to happen with me ever again, or at Interop, is because the access point had actually just been booted about 2 minutes before you went live on your network. We obviously are staging everything here in the warehouse, as you can see, and we will be on-site at Interop about 4 days before the actual event starts. So the reason why you design test and test your network before you actually use it, it was well illustrated yesterday.
And just to clarify for people, that learning mode that you talk about, under normal configuration and deployment scenarios, that's actually a very good thing to have going on. What does that do for an access point in the normal deployment scenario?
Right, and it's a classic case of the using the correct tool for the correct application and at the correct time. In a normal and as nasty of an environment as we're going to see RF-wise at Interop, what you want to be able to do is use the absolute best, make the best of the environment that you have. So once we're there and everybody has deployed all of these, everybody's going to bring in every device under the sun and deploy that, it's going to be a very congested RF environment. And so what we want is to be able to eke out the best we can for each. So whichever channel is the best at this very moment, that's the one that we want to be using. And so that's why we have something like that in place.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to educate us, and from the Interop conference attendee standpoint, I think it's a good thing that we now have everything in place so that by the time the attendees get on site, they'll have nothing but rock solid, high performing wireless networking going on.
Well, absolutely, and I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this was all your fault, because you told me, you asked me if everything was going okay, and I failed to knock on wood after I said, oh yes, everything's humming along. So I will not only have a big stick of wood, I will be knocking anybody over with it that asks me if things are working okay.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm not so sure I'm actually going to look forward to getting hit in the head with something wooden when we are at Interop Las Vegas. But aside from that, I really am looking forward to the kind of performance we're going to have. And, you know, one of the things that Heather mentioned was just how challenging the RF environment is going to be there in Las Vegas. You know, it really is, in many ways, this soup of RF energy that's going to be going on, because not only will InteropNet have all of its Wi-Fi access points, and it's going to have access points in the 802.11ac, both Wave 1 and Wave 2 parts of the spectrum in use, but there are all the access points for the convention center itself. Many of the vendors will have access points, and then there are all of those users who will be walking around with cell phones, smartphones, tablets, and other devices that are squawking their very own RF signals. Put it all together, and it makes for a situation that, well, to be brutally honest, it's fairly amazing that we're able to provide the kind of reliable Wi-Fi access that we do. And an engineer like Heather is the reason that we can do that. She thinks about all of these things, uses the newest technology, and creates a scenario where, for the most part, our attendees and the vendors who are on the exhibit floor, everyone there just won't have to think about their Wi-Fi connections. You know, it can be very hard to turn any piece of technology into something that people don't have to think about. But we have a whole staff here for the InteropNet that's busy doing that. Now, some of them work for the vendor partners that we have, people like Heather, who is an employee of Ruckus, the wireless networking vendor partner. But many of them aren't. So one of the interviews I did that we weren't able to get on yesterday because of our technical problem was with one of those people who is here not because their company forces them to be here in order to take care of the hardware, but because of the benefits they get from it. I want to turn to an interview I did with Chris Wolf, and this is like a lot of the interviews that I'm doing with our team members, where they get to introduce themselves. And you won't hear my voice because, frankly, my voice isn't that important. I want you to hear from them. This is Chris Wolpet talking about InteropNet and why he's here.
My name is Chris Wolpet. I work for WISCNET in the state of Wisconsin. We are the research and education network for the state of Wisconsin. We provide internet to cities, libraries, K-12, etc. And I'm a network engineer there. A little bit of everything, I guess. Labor, wiring, network configuration, server configuration, DNS, whatever's needed. Sure. This is my second year as a team lead. I also was an ITM for 2 years, so this is my fourth year overall with InteropNet. First time that I came in earlier on hot stage to get the network really kind of going. It has been going pretty smoothly. We've worked on getting the routing up to get the HotStage IP addresses, the show IP addresses publicly routable. It's going well. I think we're making good progress for my second day here. I came in on the 21st, and I'll be leaving on the 28th, so a Saturday through a Saturday, so the rest of this week. The team is the best part. The team is a bunch of good people that are all here to work hard and have fun, and I love everybody. Everybody's great.
You know, one of the things that Chris was talking about was the team, and as I've been talking to the folks here, that's one of the common aspects of the answers that I'm getting. Pretty much everyone here is solid in the technology, and frankly, pretty much everyone here enjoys the technology. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing at the level that they're active if they didn't enjoy the technology. But when you ask them why they keep coming back to InteropNet year after year after year, it boils down to the people. I went out and talked to one of our other InteropNet engineers about that, and once again talk to someone who's not here because they are part of a company that is a vendor partner of InteropNet, but because of what they get out of it. Spoke with Nicola Foggi, and he's got an interesting story. I've been meeting Nicola here in the InteropNet area for years, And he has some interesting things that he said when I talked to him about his experience with the InteropNet.
I am Nicola Foggi. I'm a team lead here for InterOp. I work my day job as a technical program manager for Google. So for the InteropNet, what I kind of do is the team leads in general serve as a resource between the show and the vendors to make sure that we deliver a network that works for the show in a configuration that is standards-based, reliable, and makes sense for what we're trying to accomplish for the show. We're also labor, so we come in early, we leave late, we rack and stack, we cable up, we program, and config numerous switches, routers, and all the fun toys that we have here in the InteropNet. And so overall, make sure the stuff's running, get it moved in, get it working and serving the attendees and exhibitors that attend the show. This hot stage has been going extremely smoothly. Personally, this is my ninth or tenth year doing InteropNet, I believe. And over the years, we make slight tweaks and refinements. Many of my teammates here as the team leads have been doing it for multiple years also, so we have a pretty good working relationship together, and we're able to come in and kind of say, hey, let's make this slight change from last year, and everyone kind of bunkers down and does what they need to do, and we're I don't like to say we're ahead of schedule, I like to say we're on schedule, but things have been going extremely smoothly so far. So InteropNet for me really serves twofold. My coworkers as team leads here, they're all top notch in what they do across the nation. I've built a network of those guys, and we have this kind of small closed club network of team leads that of past and present that we can rely on for favors across really the globe. Additionally, from a vendor perspective, I get access to technical resources within vendors that you normally don't get access through the sales channel. So vendors tend to bring out some of their best engineers, product managers, et cetera, out to make sure that their products are living up to what they need to do. And so I get direct access to them here, and which then I get to use to my advantage in my day job, as the years go on.
Nicola is someone who certainly has plenty to do in his day job. He doesn't have to be here, but he gets a lot out of it. And the cool thing about InteropNet is that sense of getting a lot out of it isn't confined to the engineers who work in the InteropNet. When I talk to attendees, we often run into people who have been coming back to InteropNet for years and years. Why? Well, because the technology keeps changing, because they need to keep learning, because they enjoy seeing the products that companies bring to the expo floor, but more than anything else, because they enjoy meeting up with the people who come back to InteropNet year after year. In many ways, InteropNet is like some of the other conferences in that it's a tribe that gets together and meets once a year to share their experiences and stories of what's going on, the lessons that they've learned, the successes they've had, the challenges they've worked through. And all in all, it's a super valuable experience for everyone. Now, that's why we're here at Hot Stage, to enable that. I've got a piece coming up over at Information Week that looks at some of the things going on here at Hot Stage. I hope you'll take a look at that. It should be up, say, tomorrow. That's Thursday, March 26th. And it really shows just a small glimpse of what's going on here. I'll have more through the week, because tomorrow is when we start to see something of a changing of the guard. This has been so far all about the production network, the InteropNet itself. Starting tomorrow, we begin to have people come in who are going to be active in the SDN lab. That's the Software Defined Network lab that shows the real cutting edge technology in networking today. Things are going to get really interesting, and I'm looking forward to bringing you the stories of the people working on SDN lab and bringing you stories about the technology that they're going to be showing off at Interop. Well, I've got one more interview that I'd really like to let you listen to today. Another person who has been active with Interop for a long time. Now, this is someone who is, in fact, part of one of the companies that's a vendor partner of Interop. Anytime you get a show like Interop, one of the things that's absolutely required is a rock-solid connection to the Internet at large. We have a partner who provides that and provides a number of back-end services. My next guest is the representative from our wide area networking partner. And, well, Michael has a lot of experience here at InteropNet and a lot of experience with wide area networks in general. He is one of the true wizards of wide area networking. And, well, let me let him tell you what he gets out of InteropNet and what he's doing while he's here.
Sure. My name is Michael McAfee. I'm with CenturyLink, and we are the services provider for the Interop trade show. So we provide data center services, cloud services, all the packets going in and out of the show floor and the attendees to right over our network, as well as colocation capabilities within the data center for the critical services of the event network. Where most vendors have a single point solution, right? So they bring their engineering team in to design, develop, and deploy their solution. We actually produce a lot of services for the show. So I'm sort of the wrangler of those services for CenturyLink and making sure that we deliver a very successful product offering and service for the Interop trade show. So the attendees have a great experience riding over our network and through our cloud and into our data centers and off to the world. It allows me to interact with the vendors and identify what maybe are applications that need to be in the cloud. A lot of times organizations look at the cloud and say, you know, I have this need, let's put it in the cloud. Well, is it appropriate? You know, is it appropriate to be in the cloud? Maybe it's appropriate to be in a private data center where you have just your engineering resources concentrated on that data center and deliver that critical service to them. So really helping the vendors understand what should be in the cloud, maybe what shouldn't be in the cloud, should be in a private data center. Essentially, we deliver both. We've actually been involved since 1999 in the program. I personally have been involved with the program since 1997. But as we've grown our relationship and continue to deliver services for the Interop trade show, understanding what's where and if it's appropriate is huge. And sometimes people just say, you know, here, I have this application, let's throw it out here, wherever here is, the data center or the cloud. And you find, well, maybe it's not, you know, the right place to be. You know, it's every event every year is different, which is great because as technologies and as we all know every day in our own lives, technology is advancing at ever faster speeds. And so I don't like to think of things as being the same as last year because every time I expect that, then I get reminded that it's not that. And so it's going very well. Could it be better? Sure, absolutely. Always could be better. Could it be worse? Oh, yes. It could be far worse. We've all experienced that in our daily lives. So it's going very well in working together with the vendors to help them understand, you know, what should be where and making sure the right assets are in the right places for the better of the attendees. I look at Interop as kind of the summer camp for geeks. I really enjoy it. It's beyond just the relationships that you build. It's working with the latest and the greatest technologies, some of the cutting edge and bleeding edge technologies. I can remember back in past years of being nobody or new in the industry and working together with IETF members and IEEE members that, you know, writing the RFCs and reading and consulting on the RFCs and, you know, come here, son. Come with me. Let me show you how this works. No egos. Everybody just works together, and it's just exciting. Especially as a pace of our technology moves faster and faster,
the ability to work together across teams in the common good of the attendee and the experience of the organization is huge. And, the days of, well, this is my firewall, or this is my server, or this is my data center application are long gone. We don't have the time for that. And so it just continues to remind me that we can work together. Not always do we experience that in our daily lives, but it's certainly something that I've seen in competitive situations significantly between different vendors that could be a competitive, right, that they take that off, set that aside, and say, we're here for the common good of the attendees and moving technology along. So it's a very exciting, refreshing view each and every time.
An exciting and refreshing view each and every time. That really does describe what's going on at Interop and what's happening here at the Hot Stage. You know, after two complete days, almost three complete days, of racking gear, putting things together, configuring hardware, we're getting to that point where what I'm seeing as I look around the room are lots and lots of people bent over laptops doing the configuration. It's interesting because there's an entire row of full-height equipment racks with beside it a row of another probably dozen to dozen and a half half-height racks. They are now being populated with gear, now being configured, being connected, and the engineers are making sure that everything works together the way it's supposed to. They're making sure that all the connections are sound, making sure that all the configurations are proper. And when I spoke with our chief architect, Glenn Evans, you'll hear from him on a subsequent page of the diaries, Glenn says he thinks it will be really close to having the majority of the network in place probably sometime tonight. That's on the third day of five. That gives us 2 days to do the final debugging, to do some load testing, to make sure that all of the pieces of kit and all the configurations are as robust as they need to be. Well, that's the third page in our Hot Stage diary. We had an explanation of a technical issue. We had some interviews with members of the team, and I hope you enjoyed it. Now, this is the first time we've been able to bring you a glimpse at what goes on at Hot Stage. We've got a lot more to come because, frankly, there's a lot more to Hot Stage than I've been able to bring you so far. Let us know what you think. Drop me a note via Twitter at KG4GWA or shoot me an email. I'm curtis.franklin@ubm.com. Well, I'll be back here tomorrow, the same time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, with page 4 of the Hot Stage Diary. We hope that you'll be able to join us. We appreciate you being here. And until then, for everyone here at InteropNet's Hot Stage, I'm Kurt Franklin saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow evening.